Today is Confirmation Sunday. That reminds me of one story that I read in a book entitled The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. Thomas Sawyer. I'm sure a lot of you have read, and I read it many years ago when I was in high school. And there's one particular story in the book. It was not about confirmation, but it was very similar. This boy, Tom Sawyer, was standing in front of the congregation, right next to the pastor. Why? Because he's about to receive a copy of the Bible from the pastor. While everyone in the congregation scratching their heads and say, "Really? Since when?" Well, what happened is that they have a tradition in Sunday school. If you memorize a certain number of verses, let's say 100 verses, and you did so well that the church recognized and said, "Hey, here is the Bible for you." So that's why he's about to receive the copy of the Bible from the pastor. Well, of course, he did not memorize all these close to 100 verses. What do you think he did? He wanted to have a Bible, right? So what he did is that, okay, starts with John. "Hey, Johnny, would you like to play with my toy?" And Johnny happened to have a couple of, you know, tickets, whatever you call cards, memorizing verse cards. So Johnny said, "Sure." And Tom said, "Well, I'd like to have something back." So Johnny gave that, you know, memory verse cards back to him. So he kept exchanging until he got collected enough, you know, memory verses, cards, and presented to the church, and there we go, he's about to receive the Bible. The pastor was so impressed, and he wanted to show off to everybody in the congregation. "Hey, Tom, I'm sure by now you memorize all the names of Jesus' 12 disciples. Just tell us a couple of names from 12. No, you know, piece of cake, right?" Tom said, after a while, he couldn't think of any names of Jesus' 12. He didn't know there were 12 disciples to begin with. The words came out of his mouth was, "David and Goliath." And of course, it wasn't. Now, at the 11 o'clock service today, 4 youths will be confirmed. Just don't ask any one of them if you see them. What are the 2 names of Jesus' 12 disciples? They may not be able to answer that question for you. Anyway, it's a great day for our confirmants. After 3 months of, you know, lessons and They're going to officially join us as a full member, not only of the United Methodist Church, but also as a member of this congregation. It is a great day for us as well to welcome them as part of Christ's body. Church is not the building. Church is the body of Christ. We welcome them as new brothers and sisters in Christ. And I sincerely ask you to keep them in your prayers and care. Now, since I don't do a message on confirmation often, most likely once every other year or once a year, depending on how often I do, I'd like to take this opportunity to explain the biblical meaning of confirmation, what it means, confirmation. What is it all about? Some of us have a little different understanding than what the Bible says. Actually, the Bible says about the confirmation, and the original Greek word for to confirm or confirmation is coming from Greek word bebaio or bebaios, which literally means to strengthen, to verify, or sustain. To strengthen what you have and verify what you believe and sustain and keep on to what you believe. So what is confirmation in the Bible? It is a process to strengthen your faith in Jesus the Christ. Now keep that in mind as I continue. It seems to me that there is a widespread misunderstanding among God's people in terms of when it comes down to confirmation. Or may I call them myths? I can identify at least 2. Myth number one, confirmation is just for the youth. Those folks, you know, 6th and 7th and 8th graders. The truth is, it is for everyone. Did you know that God is in confirmation business? And he has every child of his registered in that confirmation. And even Jesus was registered. You didn't know that, did you? Even though he was equal to God and he knew everything about God, God says, Jesus, as long as you live on earth for the next 33 years, you're going to be going through the confirmation. The scripture says, Hebrews 2, 9 and verse 18 says that Jesus became just in every aspect like us, human beings. He's been through sufferings, and he wept, and he prayed, and all these things. He went through confirmation. Confirmation is for those members who are in their 90s. A dear friend of mine who just about 2 months ago, she passed away, and she was 99.7 years of old. Confirmation is for those folks, and confirmation is also for the toddlers. It is for the pastors, too. You think, oh, pastor knows so well about God, he doesn't need confirmation. Wrong. It is also for the leaders of the church and the laity, and it is for the youth directors and their youth members. It is for the choir and choir members as well. It is for the Sunday school teachers and students. It is the lifelong and process, and it is for everybody. For you and for me, and everybody is in it. What is the truth number one? Confirmation is for everybody. Now here's the myth number two. Confirmation is a graduation from the church. The truth is, confirmation goes on lifetime. Like there's no graduation from the church, there's no graduation from confirmation until we get to heaven. As long as you remain as a follower of Christ, then your confirmation continues until you pass on to the next life, eternal life. In other words, confirmation does not last only 3 months or 6 months or a year. It lasts a lifetime. Well, let's do some reality check here. The notion of, quote-unquote, done with the church, especially for the confirmants, is so prevalent nowadays. I've been a minister for 24 years, and I have confirmed about 50 youth so far. And the other day I was preparing my sermon and I counted how many of youth that I've confirmed still stay active in the church, meaning going to the church every Sunday morning and actively involved in ministry. I counted. Meaning that between those guys in their, you know, late 20s all the way down to teens. And I came up with 5 out of 50. That means that 10% of the kids that I confirmed still active within the church and the life of the church beyond the confirmation Sunday. What about the rest 90%? 45 kids, sadly, I must tell you, they disappeared from my sight and from the church into the world. If you think, oh, Pastor Choi, you did such a lousy job, you're fired. Check with other pastors. Check with other churches. They would say the same story. Same story. Now, statistics say that those youth who leave the church after confirmation class are very likely to come back. That's a great news, isn't it? A little comforting. When they are married and they become parents. That's what they say. Imagine this, 20 years after their confirmation, and when, as their parents, as they see their kids, toddlers growing up, and these toddlers, you could imagine 3 or 4 or 5 year olds, they bring lots of theological questions. You know that. Where is God? You ask me to pray. Does he listen to my prayer? And all these parents kind of feel so inadequate. Oh, gee, I don't know the answer. I remember Sarah's here, my daughter, and she was about 4 years old at the time, and we were driving home, and all of a sudden she asked me a question, Dad, how old Jesus is? I said, oh, if you think, he's about 2,000 years old. And she said, no, you gotta be kidding. She was looking and thinking of the Jesus portrait we have at home. It looks like about in his 30s, you know. So these parents feel so inadequate themselves to raise their kids in godly home and Christian home. So what they do, they bring their children back to Sunday school. And the cycle of confirmation goes all over again. These toddlers growing up to the confirmation age go through the confirmation, leave the church, and come back again 20 years later. The cycle continues. Of course, I am very thankful to God who is very merciful and gracious unto those folks. Whoever comes, Jesus, God always welcomes them back home anytime. But in my humble opinion, this trend is very unhealthy, and it's a huge loss to the kingdom of God, because we lose about 20 years of their precious time, their 20s and 30s, the most productive time in anyone's life, in my humble opinion. As long as this cycle continues, you and I cannot build strong Christian families who are dedicated to God's kingdom work. It's about time to see the reversal of this vicious cycle. And I wondered, how can we reverse this trend? I do not know the right answer, folks. But all I know is that we can start with the right understanding of what the confirmation is all about. The right understanding, of course, comes from the Word of God. And let's listen to what the Bible says about confirmation. Number one, the Bible says that confirmation is a daily, ongoing, lifelong, strengthening process of strengthening your faith in Jesus Christ. Let me repeat. It's a daily, ongoing, lifelong process of getting to know who God is and what God has done in Christ Jesus. Of course, Confirmation Sunday is the beginning of the faith journey, not the end of it. You will see them, confirmants, you know, they get confirmed today and they get a certificate for it and they become a full member of God's church. It doesn't mean that they have mastered their faith, right? Imagine this, a person named Sally. She just graduated from, let's say, University of Michigan with highest degree available in biology. Does it mean that she doesn't have to study anymore because she got the highest academic degree in her field? No. Everyone knows that. No, getting the doctorate degree means that now you know what the tools available and you know how to use them, and therefore go out there and study and learn and use your skills to help others, right? Lifelong learning just begins after the doctorate degree. So does your confirmation. You never stop learning of God's kingdom and His salvation plan as long as you breathe. This is what the scripture says, folks. In 1 Corinthians 1:8, God shall confirm you. I told you that the Bible talks about confirmation. God shall confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. He promises you a thorough confirmation through and through until what? To the end. He starts confirming you today, and His eyes are already set on the day of Lord Jesus Christ for you to be blameless and pure. You can count on His faithfulness. I said, number one, what is that confirmation? It's a daily, ongoing, lifelong process of strengthening your faith in Jesus Christ. And number two, confirmation is a must, necessity, so that we may not lose our salvation. Confirmation is like a daily feeding, like eating daily meals that would keep you healthy and strong. Imagine this. You said to yourself, oh, I used to eat 3 meals a day 30 years ago, and about 3 months, I did very faithfully, and since then I stopped eating. And you could imagine no one would survive without eating meals daily. And that's exactly what we do, a lot of folks do, to our soul and spirit. Feeding their soul about 3 months for the confirmation Sunday, and then they stopped eating. And they stay away from the church and still expect that they're going to be healthy soul and spirit. No. What the confirmation does, it's that it keeps us going strong and well-founded in our faith. And Peter the Apostle in today's text urges us to confirm our call and election from God. Call means that God has called you to be his child, and election means that he has chosen you to be his child. Why is it necessary for us to make every effort to confirm our call and election from God? Because by doing so, we pave the path to heaven and build steps to heaven's door, accessible both for us and for the future generation of believers. In today's text, Peter the Apostle also points out that there's a huge difference between those folks who keep confirming their call and election and those who don't. Those folks who confirm their call and election will be effective and fruitful in their walk with God. And those folks who do not, Peter warns, they are nearsighted and blind. I know what it means being nearsighted. I've been nearsighted for over 40 years, folks. If you take off my glasses from my eyes, I cannot see anything clear. I mean, perhaps like things object before is within or just foot from my eyes. But beyond that, everything looks so blurry. And all those folks nearsighted understand what I'm talking about. What's that mean? Blind. Blind means that you cannot see anything. Of course, Peter is not talking about your physical eyesight. He's talking about spiritual eyesight. If you neglect the confirmation, he says, you're going to be blind and you're going to be nearsighted. What's that mean, nearsighted? Nearsighted means that you're so wrapped up with, the only thing you can see clear is right here. Wrapped up with daily and earthly concerns that you don't see what awaits you next after you die. The worst thing could happen to us if we neglect the confirmation, Peter says, you get even forgetful of the cleansing of your past sins. Listen again. Forgotten that you have been cleansed from your past sins. In other words, if we neglect the ongoing confirmation, the worst thing will happen to us, and that is that we may forget we have been cleansed from our sins. We may forget the needs of the forgiveness of our sins, and we may even forget who has redeemed us from our sins. We may even forget who Jesus is and what he has done for us on the cross. Now, you think that going to church makes everything perfect, right, in terms of understanding and knowledge of God. And how come we still have, I mean, with my own ears, I heard people in the church saying that Jesus is just a good moral teacher. Really? One thing tells me is they neglected their confirmation. So what's the benefit of confirmation? What happens when we're diligent in confirming our call and election from God? Scripture says that it keeps us from being blind and nearsighted in our journey to heaven. In other words, we set our minds and heart the things above, not things below here. It keeps us from forgetting that we're sinners and that Jesus redeemed us from God's judgment by his own blood. It keeps us from getting corrupt with worldly lust and evil desires. And it keeps us pure and blameless in the day of the Lord. And it keeps our life as believer rich and effective and fruitful that benefits everyone around us. And if you think of your own life as a Christian, if you think that why my life as a Christian is so boring and unfruitful and ineffective, think of it. Have I been neglecting my confirmation? When we are diligently engaged in confirmation, it prepares our path to heaven straight and strong and equips us to travel with confidence, and we will never stumble. That's promised in verse 10. Peter says that if you do this, you will never stumble. Isn't that what we want? Have you been lately stumbling a lot on whatever things? Check it out. Perhaps there's some negligence in confirmation. Confirming our call and election every day, it paves our road to heaven solid. No one wants to travel nowadays on unpaved or even muddy streets or even potholes. This area isn't too bad. I came from Monmouth County in Eaton Town, right? There's about a quarter mile of stretch. After harsh winter, I always see several potholes up here. And everybody driving that road, always going this way and, zigzagging to avoid the potholes. I wonder, some of our roads to heaven looks like that. Now that leads me to the final point. The real question is, who's going to do the job of confirmation for us, for you and for me? God raises his hand and says, I will. Thank God, he does indeed. But he says, you have to work with me too. It's like a coach, the most winningest coach in history, and comes to your team who lost every single game last season. And the coach promises to you, guess what? Next season, I'll take you to the championship game. You say, hooray, hooray, we're in good hands. But the coach says, you need to work with me. Asking for your commitment. God says, I'll begin the confirmation and I'll finish the good work in you. However, in between times, you need to work with me. It's like God provides the daily bread for you, but you still have to cook and clean and eat yourself after all. No one else will do it for you, those things. You and I are called by God to, lack of a better term, confirming ourselves, self-confirmation. That requires our awareness as well as discipline. And here's why I say you have a job to do. If you look at verse 10, I'm going to read it to you one more time. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be all the more eager to confirm your call and election. For if you do this, you will never stumble. Peter urges, using an imperative sentence, be more eager, speaking to you. And he says, if you do this. It's very clear and simple to me. Who's going to do the job here? You. God will help you, and so will the church, and so will the pastor, but eventually it is you who needs to work. God provides all the materials you need for your eternal life and godliness, in verse 3, to build up the steps to heaven's door. But it is you who need to get on your knees and get your hands dirty to lay one brick at a time on your path to heaven. So you say, Pastor Choi, I got your message. Confirmation is not just for the youth. It's for everybody, and I am in too, and I'm ready to do my part. What should I do? Okay? And very briefly, Peter the Apostle gives us some clue here. He points out to seven steps to heaven's door, may I call. Seven things that we need to ensure in our confirmation process. If you're willing to do your confirmation, here's number one, virtue. The scripture says that goodness, but it's actually virtue, meaning moral excellence, meaning that, do not cheat, do not lie, all these things, then. Basically, anything that is pleasing to the Lord. On top of that, the first step is virtue. You add the step of knowledge. Peter is not talking about your knowledge of, your favorite team statistics, no. He's not talking about knowledge of, the soap opera. He's not talking about knowledge of Jeopardy games. He's talking about knowledge of Jesus. How much do you know him? Let's be serious about it. Let's be honest. How much do I know? How much do you know of Jesus? And by the way, how do you get to know him more? Through the Bible, isn't it? Where is your Bible this morning? At home? Has it been collecting the dust for several months, if not several years? Why are we neglecting the source of knowledge of Christ so much so that if you compare the time that you spend for watching TV or doing your favorite things versus the time you spend in getting to know the Son of God, don't neglect knowing Jesus. And I told you about this. If your house is on fire tonight and you have one chance to bring out one thing, most precious thing from your house, besides your people and pets maybe, what would it be? It always comes down to me, not because I'm the pastor. I'm simply acknowledging the importance of the Bible. Is he saying with you? So first step is virtue, second step is knowledge, and the third one is self-control. And the next one is endurance or patience. Many people ask me, the pastor, "Pastor, pray for understanding and patience." We all know that. And then on top of that, you add godliness. And on top of that, the scripture says mutual affection, but it's more like a kindness. Put yourself in others' shoes. And on top of everything, the last step will be charity. Today's text says love, but, you know, I love the old English translation says the charity that separates from the rest of the type of love. Charity means divine love, agape. So I don't have enough time to expand all these seven steps today, but you got the picture. What is confirmation? It's a lifelong process for you, not only to stay in salvation, but also to pass on to the next generation the message of salvation.